Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And this is probably the best episode we have every couple of weeks, and it's Culinary Atlanta. And today I have with me John and Anderson with Handpicked Atlanta. And they brought a special friend with them. But hey, guys, how are you doing?
Doing good.
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. So what's going on with Handpicked Atlanta? What are you guys up to?
Well, we're doing a lot of cool stuff. We just signed Fernbank up for a new event that we're doing with them. We've been doing like a series of exclusive events. So last one we did was a 90s night, and that one was fun. But I think this one's going to be even cooler.
Yeah, it's like an adult prom night. So the theme is, you know, like you get to revisit your high school experience of prom, but
hopefully better.
Yeah. And they have a dessert buffet and a DJ and bars set up throughout the whole Fernbank Museum. It's really cool, actually.
Yeah.
So is this to like promote Fernbank, or what is the idea behind the adult prom?
So we just wanted to do like a series of you know, cool, curated, more like adult-centric kind of parties at Fernbank. We think Fernbank is a super cool venue, and it's obviously, you know, an Atlanta institution. So, so yeah, that's kind of been the focus there. We've been doing a lot of cool events like that. We're gearing up to do another event on the rooftop of Pond City Market.
Oh, sweet.
So a lot of cool stuff going on with the events. We've also, we've brought a special guest with us today, and one of the things that that we discovered recently was the in our opinion greatest ramen bowl in inside of the perimeter.
I think best
maybe
pokey.
In Atlanta.
Best pokey too.
Yeah. So John, you want to introduce Seven for us?
Who'd you bring?
It's Seven from Pokeberry and Lifting Ramen or Lifting Noodle Ramen in East Atlanta Village. We've been working with him for a while. He's one of our favorites on the site. Mm-hmm. We do different stuff with him from time to time, and even have a special poke burrito that was named after Handpicked Atlanta too.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Well, hey, Seven, what's up?
Hey, everyone. I'm really happy to be here, and I'm glad I was invited.
Yeah. So what are you doing over there at Pokeberry and Lifting Ramen?
Well, most of the days you'll probably see me just kind of running around, making food, make sure everything is going well. But on the cool occasions, I get to do stuff like this and come on the radio and win stuff and battle other people in food.
So how did you get involved? Like, what made you want to open a restaurant?
I mean, I have experience with food in the past. I've worked with Top Chef and a lot of contestants from the show. And then my partner, who unfortunately is on vacation and can't be here today. He has restaurant experience as well. We actually met in real estate school 4 weeks after I sold my tech company. I moved to Atlanta because destiny brought me here for whatever reason. I met him and he's like, do you want to open a poke restaurant? And I'm like, no, but sure, let's do this. And we were the first poke restaurant in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And we are consistently voted the best. If you Google us, you'll probably see all kinds of things that we've won or sponsored or been a part of or featured in.
Yeah. Wow. And so just real quick. So you sold a tech company and then you were in real estate school and then you decided you were going to open a restaurant?
Yeah. I mean, you never really know how the dots connect as far as what it could do for your future. But for some reason, all the things in my past have led me to this moment right now.
So how did you find yourself on destiny and finding yourself on this path? But I mean, so you were involved in a tech company. So it's a very different path than the one you're on now. So how did you end up connecting those dots? How did you end up here?
So, honestly, we have amazing food and it's, I want to say the freshest, tastiest, and we put a lot of detail into it. But a big part of what we do that I think is different from a lot of the other restaurants here is you try to appreciate the community, the other businesses, and the press and the connections that you could build here. So a lot of people are just focused on one part of their business. And we know that it's the food, but it's also the business part. So that kind of makes a big difference. I think that's where we have a chance to be a part of things and do things that other people don't even think about, like being here or being in competitions or working with Handpicked. And, you know, I think those things make a big deal.
Yeah. So being in Atlanta versus anywhere else, how do you see that as advantageous?
I'd say at least for our industry right now, there's a lot of room for growth of good Asian food. Mm-hmm. Like right now, I have to drive to Buford Highway or Duluth or kind of these outskirts of the city. And for us, we want to be somewhere that they don't have our food. People have not, like a lot of people don't even know what poke is, or at least didn't know when we first started. But we want to bring kind of like our spin on it in a way that we get to introduce it to the market. So you're going to see a lot of competitors out there that are more of like a Subway or a fast food version of poke, where
I see like a lot of Chipotle imitators, yeah. You know, where they have like the bar, you go through and like pick the ingredients,
yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of those popping up all over the country. And now when we first started, we were the first ones here, and now they're like 20 something. But everyone is more or less on this fast food concept of poke. And our food is actually dishes that are crafted by chefs and people that think about it and put things together. And we make sure the detail is there in a way that we probably do too much, and we hope people appreciate it. But I think that's what's made us the difference. And for us, when we get to introduce someone that to poke that has only had this fast food version and their mind is blown, that's amazing. Or someone that's like wanders into our little food court and they're like 80 something years old and they have no idea what's going on. They love our food and they come back. That's amazing for us.
Well, how do you bridge that gap then? So you're saying it's kind of, you were the first people here that first, you know, into the market, and that kind of education process of, you know, they're going to the fast food poke. And so they have that experience. And then once they come into your establishment, then it's like, oh, wow, their eyes are open to this real, you know, the authentic cuisine. But how are you, I mean, bridging that education process and bringing them in and really letting them know just the quality of food that you offer?
Honestly, I think it just comes down to the taste. When you like, you may not see the little details. Like our rice is done and in a way that no one else does. It takes us like an hour and a half to make rice.
Wow.
Where everyone just kind of cooks it and serves it. Or like our fish is marinated and seasoned and everyone else is kind of just served. Our sauces and everything is made from scratch. And it's easier for the food to speak for us than me being there all day and telling people how good we are.
Right.
But I think the food is a big deal. And then the fact that we are, you know, in a lot of things that expose us to new people is kind of makes a big deal. There are most restaurants in general, they're successful based on their location.
Okay.
That's a big part of why they're successful. 80 to 90% of their customers come in from based on their community or their area. We are around 15 to 20% of our customers actually come in from our neighborhood, but we're called the destination location.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks to things like Instagram, Yelp, Google, Handpicked, and kind of all these other places that we reach out, almost the majority of our customers come from there, which is unlike any other restaurant. When we started, we followed the story of like Chipotle and Five Guys and Five Guys Burgers. They started like, their strategy was, I'm going to pick the worst place I can. No one's going to find it. And it's going to be the cheapest, kind of crappiest place. But if we can do well there, we can do well anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we are kind of like that. And it's been amazing to see that people will drive 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. We've had people drive from Jacksonville, Florida, to come eat a sushi donut before, which is ridiculous, but amazing. And we've kind of become like a destination for where we are. We even won best business in our city of East Atlanta. We've brought over 40,000 new people to the city that have never been there. And it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's helping my property value.
But that is one of the cool things that you guys do, like with the sushi donut, is you have this sort of like fun side to your restaurants that a lot of other people somehow like fail to do as well. And I think the big thing for me that initially like really attracted me to your restaurants was the secret menu. Mm-hmm. And it's like funny because it's like you kind of tell everybody about it. So it's not like a secret, but like it's cool because you have all these like off the cuff, like random things that I've never heard of before and are sort of like ahead of the curve. Like I don't think, not that I'm like the absolute expert on this, but I don't think I ever saw a poke donut before ever until yours. And now you kind of like see other places like doing the same thing. But the pokey donut, the pokey corn dog, like
the pokey ball.
That
one's pretty cool.
There's like all the stuff that you do that's fun. And I don't think a lot of the other places in Atlanta do that as well as he does.
So it's like a even bigger differentiator. And like you're saying, so like social media and getting together with companies like Handpicked Atlanta. So that really helps set you apart. And so do you create different, like these, the sushi donut and I saw the sushi corn dog. I mean, do you create these interesting dishes to try and attract new people and the social media help in promoting that?
Absolutely. I mean, the secret menu was kind of our way of being able to have fun and be creative with the menu on a regular basis without having to, you know, put it on the menu full time. Because we have a really small spot. If you guys come in, we're around 250 square feet in total.
It's like not much bigger than this room.
Wow.
So the audience, you guys can just imagine the room. Yeah. But it's a really small place. So, you know, we can't keep things in stock the way that a lot of big restaurants can. So, I mean, some of the advantages of that is that means everything is fresh because we have nowhere to store it. Everything goes in and out pretty much every day. And it kind of forces us to be creative and to control our product in a way other people just kind of don't do. But the secret menu really just came out of not having space to put things on a regular basis on the menu.
Okay.
And the ability to just kind of do fun stuff that me and my partner, like, you know, we do love to cook and make food. But kind of when you serve the same thing every day, it's not as exciting to you or your customers. But the secret menu really kind of took off. So like the donut was, I think, our first hit. That won us a bunch of stuff. And then we just started getting weirder and weirder with it. We have like kimchi arancini, that won a bunch of things, including a trophy from Taste of Atlanta, our sushi sandwiches, which have won a bunch of stuff. And I think our biggest, most recent one is the sushi corn dog, which we've been consistently winning stuff too. And it brings in people and it's cool and it's weird and it's different. And we see, like John said, like a lot of other restaurants keep copying the things we do. And that probably means we're doing something right, you know?
Yeah, no, it's cool to have that happening. But you don't even just do, like, you have all those, like, pokey-centric dishes, but when you were doing the beignets, like, back a little while ago, those were really fire. Like, there's just all this other stuff, though, that you do that's, like, I don't know, it's just, like, feels really fresh and keeps me coming back, at least.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of it is, you know, we want people to come in and be surprised, you know? So a lot of times our secret menu, we don't even charge for it. We just give it away.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Depending on what it is, you know, you may have a chance to just come in and see that we're working on something cool and weird and you can be a taste tester and check it out. Like, we launched our tempura fried bacon on our brunch menu like, a while ago and people went nuts for it. And we're just giving it away, like same as like our beignets. Like, I don't think we've ever charged for our beignets, but we've given away probably like 1,000 orders or something like
that. I haven't had one yet. I need to get one.
Dude, you got
to
stay on his Instagram, man. puts all this good info on the Instagram.
Follow us at Pokeberry.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, do it.
Plug it in.
It's not a letdown. One of my favorite feeds.
Wait, but so how did you get into the ramen? Like, it's crazy because like you don't have like this lifelong history in Poke, but you did it and it's better than like everything else in Atlanta. And then you like just jumped and pivoted to ramen, but it's also better than like any other thing in Atlanta. So like, how did you... How did that come about?
Well, first, thanks for saying that so I don't have to say that to everyone. But I mean, ramen is just kind of another thing that I felt like East Atlanta needed. And, you know, there's definitely some decent ramen in Atlanta and a lot
Is other good ramen that yours, and, like, and I've heard other people say the same thing too. Like, yours just stands above.
I think part of it too is you know, saying it's good ramen is one thing because, like, everybody's had good ramen, but, like, it's with yours, it's the attention to detail. It's the corn, it's the what pickled daikon, it's the chili oil is made from scratch. I mean,
so I wish Ken were here to kind of talk about more of those things. Because Ken, my partner, Ken, he comes up with a lot of the recipes for the things that are on the regular menu. And what he does is he'll spend hours and hours and hundreds of dollars testing recipes and trying things out. And then I'm like, Ken, people are not going to notice you if you put this like tiny thing more expensive here or this thing better here. Than, but you know, it definitely does make a difference overall. So, I mean, a lot of the Atlanta ramen is, you know, really similar, and ours is probably not too much different, but like Anderson said, a lot of the little things that we put into it that we make ourselves do make a difference, and I do hope that people appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, clearly they do.
It's I'm a huge fan. Another one of the things I wanted to ask about is I don't know if you like consciously do this, but your menu is really well curated in the sense that like not only do you have, you know, not this like overwhelming selection, but you always seem to offer like the traditional version of the dish and then also like a fun, like unique, special to your, you know, place dish. Is that something like you intentionally do or?
Yeah, I mean, I guess for everything that we do, we kind of follow the same strategy and same rules. So for our, like when you go to a regular restaurant, even the best restaurant in any city, what you normally see is they'll have one or two hits and everything else is kind of just there. We design our menu where everything can be a hit or everything can or has won something. And then we also have a weird version of almost everything, which is cool too. You know, there are people, a lot of people that are still afraid of eating sushi or raw things, but when you introduce it as a donut or a corn dog or like something that they somehow understand their brain that is appealing and people will come try it. And then once they try it, they love it.
They're hooked.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's to your point too, people being afraid to try something like sushi or branch out and try something new. So I grew up in New Jersey and I had this stigma. I mean, I went to New York all the time having sushi and I loved it. And then when I came down here, I was very disappointed with the sushi selection. And I just felt like I was never able to have good enough sushi. So how do you kind of, if you have people who come from different states or different places with this certain stigma and they think they know what good is, how do you kind of break out of that?
I've lived in a lot of cities. I think, I grew up in New York right next to New Jersey, but I've lived in 16 cities since then. And I've had sushi at the cheapest hole in the walls and the best like celebrity chef restaurants. And, you know, for it, it's really freshness and attention to detail. And then we also are, I think, the only restaurant that has a guarantee. And I tell people, if you come to our place and if you don't love our food, we will make you something else that's on us.
Wow.
If you don't love that, I will come help you move, paint your house, you know, whatever it is you need. So customer service is definitely like 1,000,000% with us. Yeah.
It's locked in. It's good.
Exactly. No one has luckily taken me up on any of those yet.
That's good. So your food's good. At least you know that. Yeah.
And you can also see the freshness in your fish, like even just from a picture on like your Instagram.
Very true.
Like it somehow stands out. And I think even the way like you cut certain pieces of their fish, like your squares are a lot more like they look like actual, you know, pieces of fish rather than like mushy or whatever.
And you use the same suppliers as the best sushi restaurants in Atlanta, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at some of the higher ticket places, they make their average meal is $130, $150 for the best restaurants in Atlanta. And we use the same fish as them. And our average meal is $11 to $15. And it's really, nothing special. I mean, aside from this, we just make sure it's fresh. Most of our fish comes in and it looks like a fish. And then we cut it down and we keep it fresh. I think one thing that people don't know is a lot of sushi restaurants, like the one around the corner from you or the one that's like convenient, they have good fish too when it starts.
Yeah.
But a lot of people leave their fish just like defrosted in the fridge for like a week and they prepare on a weekly basis, every few days. We do it every day. So I wish there was magic to it, but we just do it the right way, I think, you know?
Yeah, you don't cut corners.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what do you see as kind of, I mean, you've obviously established yourself as like a premier place to go in Atlanta and you've really built up the community around you, but what do you see as kind of long-term, your ultimate goal with Pokeberry?
Well, right now we're in the middle of working on a lot more stores. We have some standalone stores coming to Atlanta. Right now we, I probably shouldn't say it because it jinxes it, but I think we are going to, but right now we're slated to have 7 restaurants by first quarter of 2019 across Atlanta and a few other cities right now. So a year and a half ago, I had no restaurants and about a year and a half from now, I'll have 7 and we'll see how it goes. We're excited for sure.
Yeah, like rapid growth.
I don't know where, how far this listenership goes to, but shout out to Raleigh. They're opening next in April and they're coming to visit this week and you guys can all come say hi to them.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How do you have the time for all this?
I actually don't have time. I pretty much, well, any business, I work too much. But I think me and my partner, Ken, we average 12 to 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. And, you know, it's tough. There are days we won't sleep for days. We won't eat for days. And we just work on just work. Yeah.
Well, like I get this passion and like I understand there's the fulfillment and stuff, but like, do you give yourself breaks? Like, how do you keep going?
I've been doing this for a really long time. And I think, I mean, one lesson is definitely that that's probably not the right way to do it from a being healthy point of view. But I think there's a competitiveness in me that that fuels me more than any food or sleep or anything else can do. And I don't know if it's a good or bad thing, but we'll see. Yeah.
Do you drink like lots of coffee?
A lot of coffee. Maybe 5-6 cups a day. Which is, I don't know if that's a lot, but that's
decent. I do that and I always feel like really crappy, like after I have like a bunch of coffee and it makes me feel like I'm crashing or something like that. So I have to be careful with it.
Yeah, I'm lucky I don't do that yet. But I try to reserve Sunday as my day off. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I go on airplane mode and pretend that everything else doesn't exist.
That
mostly helps.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to recharge. Well, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, learn more about Pokeberry, mm-hmm. how would they do that?
I think the best way is to follow us on Instagram, just at Pokeberry. We check it like every day. Cassie, the girl that helps us with it, she checks it every day and she follows up. And there are a lot of things that you can access or communicate through there that you can't. So let's say if you want something on the secret menu that we may not have, if you want to make a reservation, you can do that on Instagram.
Oh,
if
wow.
you have a special occasion and you want something special, you can send us a message there. We actually had someone a few weeks ago. I said, it's my wedding anniversary. I want you guys to make us a box of sushi donuts for my wife. And I was like, that's amazing. That's a cool thing.
Yeah, it's super cool and random.
You know, so that's where you can reach out to us. And we're happy to do these like cool, weird things for people. That's a big part of who we are. And I think things that no one else will do. So yeah, send us a message on Instagram.
He's really charitable. So like if you reach out to him, he actually does respond. And like he hooks it up all the time for people. So.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much, Stephen. I mean, I love your story. And I mean, I'm excited to try Pokeberry for sure. And thanks, John and Anderson, for coming in and with Handpicked Atlanta. So if somebody wanted to get in touch with you guys, how would they do that?
The best place is either on our app or our website. The app is available on iPhones or Androids. And the website is just handpickedatlanta.com. We also have a social media presence on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And those are just Handpicked ATL. And if you need to email us, we're help@handpickedatlanta.com.
Well, awesome. Thank you all so much for coming in today. We just had a great episode of Culinary Atlanta, and we'll see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.